Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode and welcome back to the second maternity leave episode. In this episode, we're going to be going over God the Son. And last week we covered God the Father, and that was a bit of a longer episode simply because the introduction took up so much time. I really wanted to emphasize once again why the Trinity is so important for us to consider. Why, when we're thinking about who God is as the basis of truth, as the basis of our authority, our moral authority, our authority over our life, in his authority to tell us what to do, how to live, how to think, how to act, that the basis of that is we need to understand who he is. And who he is, first and foremost, is a triune God. And so often in evangelical circles, this truth is so often overlooked. It's overshadowed simply because the Trinity is so difficult to understand. And yet just because something is difficult to understand doesn't mean that we can't talk about it. So in this episode, we're going to be covering who God the Son is. And of course, God the Son is the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. He is 100% God. It has often been criticized of Jesus that he never claimed to be God. And the truth could not be further from that, that in his earthly ministry, over and over and over and over again, he declared himself to be God. And I think of the book of John in his I am statements of I am the door to the sheep. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:7, no one comes to the Father except through me. I think of his statement that he is the resurrection and the life. I think of his statement that he is the vine and we are the branches. And whenever that word I am is used, that of course harkened back to Moses and the burning bush in Exodus. When Moses is telling God, I'm so scared to speak. I'm not good at speaking. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. And God tells him that he's going to be with him, but that he needs to go back to free the people of Israel. And then Moses asks God, well, when the people of Israel ask me who sent me, what am I supposed to say? And God's response to him is, tell them I am sent you. And that word I am is the name of Yahweh. It means self-existent one. And so Jesus, in his I am statements in the book of John, he has 7 I am statements in the book of John, is 100% declaring himself to be God. And I also think of John 8:58, where the Pharisees are in a discussion with Jesus, and Jesus states, very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. That is 100% a declaration of himself to be God. And in a salvific sense, when we look at the doctrine of atonement, when we look at the Old Testament sacrificial system, how the Israelites were supposed to go through sacrifices, you had the burnt offering, you had the peace offering, you had the sin offering, you had the Day of Atonement, you had Passover, you had all of these things to keep, you had all of these animals to slaughter. And yet it's interesting. And the book of Hebrews goes into this, how the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin because it is an imperfect substitute for our behalf. An animal cannot fully take on the sin of mankind because it's not a man. So this is why Jesus had to be 100% man. He had to qualify as our substitute, but also he could not have died for us. He could not have taken our sin on himself if he was not God. In order for his sacrifice to be acceptable, he had to be perfect. And only God is perfect. Jesus lived the perfect life that we could not live. He died the perfect atoning death that we could never do. And he perfectly satisfied the wrath of God to where Paul declares in Romans 5 that we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the basis of why understanding who God the Son is so important. He came to be our sacrifice. He came to be our atonement, our redeemer. And even in the Old Testament, we had shadows of who Jesus was. We have in the Old Testament instances of the kings failing. David, a man supposed to be after God's own heart, failed with Bathsheba and Uriah and with his own family, multiplying wives. We needed a perfect king. And Jesus was that perfect king. He is that perfect king. The priests failed in their role. I think of the book of Samuel, where Samuel's mentor, I guess you could say, Eli, this priest, and he has these sons that he refuses to curtail, and God ends up taking his life because of it. So the priest failed. We needed a perfect priest, and Jesus is that perfect priest. Hebrews declares him to be our priest. He is the one who intercedes for us. He is the one who covers us. The prophets failed in their mission. We had many bad prophets listed in the Old Testament that failed to follow God's words, that failed to adequately relay God's words to where prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah were persecuted for doing right, even though the false prophets were trying to do wrong. So the prophets failed. We needed a perfect prophet. And we have that in the person of Jesus Christ, who perfectly relayed God's message of repentance and salvation in his ministry on earth. We also have a failed Adam, where the first Adam took of the fruit when he was not supposed to, when Eve and Adam sinned in the garden and entirety of mankind was plunged into sin. We needed a perfect Adam, and Jesus is that perfect Adam. We have a true and better Adam through him. And this is one of the points of Romans chapter 5, that through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so by all have sinned and are plunged into death. But there is a way out, that through one man, righteousness reigned. And that is the person of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Again, just because Jesus is listed as the second person of the Trinity does not in any way make him less God. He is coexistent, co-eternal with the Father. John 8:58, when Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am," he has always been existing. He was never created. He has always been eternal with the Father. However, he voluntarily submitted himself. He took on human flesh. He took on human nature in order to qualify as our atonement, as our sacrifice. He lived in obedience to the Father. Philippians 2:6-8, Jesus Christ, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And like last episode, or the first episode, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus is the person of the Trinity, God the Son, that interacts with us as our sacrifice, as prophet, our priest, our king, the perfect Adam. This is who he is. So again, I will link all of these resources below, but I hope that, again, this episode was helpful when it comes to understanding more who God the Son is. I'm not intending these episodes to be long. I'm thinking 5 to 10 minutes of almost like a crash course on the foundations of truth. And again, we're doing this series because it's so easy to become so inundated with politics. It's so easy to allow that to be our runway. And while there's nothing wrong with that, we 100% believe in fighting the culture war with the truths of God's word. But sometimes it's very helpful to go back to the basics of theology of why are we in this fight? Why do we care? And it's because we care who God is. And through the inner working of the Trinity and who he is, we are recognizing more and more his beauty, his perfection, his majesty, his worthiness of worship. And this is why we fight the fights that we do. This is why we fight abortion. This is why we fight transgender ideology. It's because we care who God is. And we can't care who God is unless we know who he is. So that's why, again, we're focusing on the Trinity. And next week, we will focus on God the Holy Spirit. So I hope you come back for that one. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.